The next stop on the itinerary was a place where we could get suit sacks, huge orange coveralls whose legs could be zipped together to make them into sleeping bags. These were made for people who hunted or scavenged in the far north. Each had a catalytic power unit built into it. As long as you kept some fuel in its bladder, it would supply a modest trickle of power that was routed down the suit's arms and legs to warming pads placed in the soles of the boots and the palms of the mittens. New ones could be pretty expensive, but Yule had helped Orlo get a cheap one the other day. He knew of places where you could get used ones that had been fixed up, and he knew tricks for making them more comfortable. Once we had taken care of that, we set out in search of other gear and supplies we were going to need. Whenever I suggested going to an outdoorsy type of store, Yule winced and groaned, and then explained how better stuff could be had at 1/10 the price by using things you could buy at stores that sold housewares and groceries. He was always right, of course. He made his living as a wilderness guide, taking vacationers on trips to the mountains. Apparently, he had no work at the moment, because he spent the whole day driving me around Norsloth, helping me improvise what we needed. When we were unable to get what we wanted at a store, he promised to supply us out of his own personal stock. The driving consumed an unbelievable amount of time. The traffic was always bad, or so it seemed to me. But I wasn't used to the vehicular life of a city. When the traffic slowed to a stop, people in the mobs around us would look out the windows at Yule's ramshackle fetch. If they were grown-ups, they would soon look the other way, but children loved to point and stare and laugh. And they were right to do so. Yule and I were an odd pair, compared to all of these people driving to school and to work. At first, Yule seemed to feel an obligation to be a good host, to provide entertainment during traffic jams.
Music?
He said distantly, as if music was something he had heard of once. Hearing no objection, he took to fiddling with the controls on his sound system as if they had broken off in his hands and were no longer attached to anything. Eventually, he left it set on a random feed. Later, once he got to talking, I reached over and turned it off, and he didn't notice. Part of his job, I guessed, was to make people he had just met, his clients, feel comfortable, which he did by telling stories. He was good at it. I tried to get him to talk about Orlo, but he didn't have much to say. Orlo might be a lot of things to me, but to Yule he was just another tenderfoot who needed advice on how to travel in the rough. This did, however, lead to the topic of getting around in the far north, which he knew a lot about. Later I asked him if all of his travel had been in that direction, and he scoffed and said that no, he had spent years as a river guide in a region south of Sambol that was gouged by deep sandstone canyons filled with spectacular rock formations. He told some good stories about such trips, but after a while became uncomfortable and stopped talking. Telling tales, it seemed, was a good way to loosen things up, a useful time killer. But what he really wanted was a project into which he could pour his energies and his intelligence. At some point during the day, he stopped referring to you, as in, you're going to need extra fuel in case you have to melt snow to make drinking water, and began speaking of we, as in, we should plan on at least 4 flat tires.